going beyond the headlines to the deeper issues. 96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Inside Segment, where your questions and comments matter at 202-319-7810. Join the conversation.
Welcome back to The Daily Drum on WHUR, Sirius XM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2 and 98.3 FM. This is the Inside Segment. I'm Harold Fisher. So what does friendship mean to you? How do you define it? Are there levels to friendship? Well, tonight, our Women's Roundtable talks about friendship and how they view it. My guests are Misha Green, managing editor of the Washington Informer newspaper, Reese Colbert, founder of Black Women Views, and publicist Carla Wellborn. And you, the listener, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Reese, welcome to the program. First time on the in studio.
Yes, thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Misha, congratulations on your new gig with the Washington Informer.
Thank you. I'm excited to be there and be back with you.
And be black.
And be black, right? Always. That's first and foremost.
And Carla, thank you so much for joining the conversation.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, so let's get a working definition of friendship, or friends, I should say. The Oxford Dictionary describes it as a person whom one knows and with whom one has a bond of mutual affection. There's another definition from Merriam-Webster, a person who has a strong liking for and trust in another, but I don't think that is really sufficient. And I would argue that there are levels to friendship. Give me the crib notes of your definition of friendship, Reese.
I mean, I think that there are levels, starting with associate. Okay, because everybody ain't your friend, and we throw that word out there a little bit too quickly and too easily. But I think a friend is somebody that you trust with your secrets, you trust with your safety, you trust with your heart. You know, that's what a real friend is. It's something that goes below the surface of just hanging out. Hey, girl, let's go grab some drinks or whatever the situation may be.
Mm-hmm. What do you say, Misha?
Well, you know, as you said, there are levels to friendship. And so let's just start by saying the term friend has been completely warped since that guy Tom made MySpace, okay? Let's be really clear about that, okay? We have lost what friends meant years ago through social media. Mm. And so friendship, of course, has levels. You got work friends. You got church friends. Mm. You got family friends, right? Your mama's friends who were auntie were her real friends, but the ones that were miss were not her friends, you know? You remember that. And so there's always been levels to friendship. But both of you, in the Oxford Dictionary definition, as well as Reese's definition, mentioned trust. And when you're talking about traveling with the person, when you're talking about sharing information with someone, creating memories with the person, obviously there's trust. And so if you don't have that with a human being, they're not your friend.
Yeah, how about that? What do you say, Carla? What's your quick definition?
Well, I agree with both of the ladies. I mean, there are different levels to friendship, but I think more importantly for me, it's a no judgment zone, and I don't label. I think we do use friends very loosely because of the social media platforms. But you know, for me, I notice as I get older, my circle gets smaller, and so therefore, you know, people that I really call my close friends, you know, it's a very small number, and then those other people you know, our front, our associates or just people I know are like, they said the different categories, work friends, church friends, friends, you college friends, people you went to school with, people you grew up with in your neighborhood, but they're not always, you know, the true definition of a friend, someone that you feel safe, comfortable, sharing your secrets, that's going to be there. And you don't necessarily have to talk to them every day. But you know that you can count on them and they can count on you, and they want you to win and you want them to win. And so that's, you know, those are the type of people I try to surround myself with nowadays. Mm-hmm. And so that's why I make my circle very small.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're at the Women's Roundtable. We're talking about friends and friendship and even frenemies, for example. We're going to get into all of that. So let us start with, you know, this horrific story that everybody's been following, the Shanquella Robinson story. We've all seen the video where she went to Mexico with, air quote, friends, and there was video of her being in a physical fight, although in the video she's not fighting, but, you know, one of the other traveling companions, let me say that, maybe that's probably most accurate, was fighting her, and then another traveling companion was videotaping it, and next thing we know, she's dead, and now there's an investigation. The FBI is looking into this. The Mexican authorities are looking into this as well. That notwithstanding, and I'll start with you, Misha. I found this whole thing really, really, you know, shocking as a guy. And I know that the friendship dynamic with women in a lot of cases is different. So what happened? Why do these kinds of things, is this common for women to, you know, we can get into the whole catty thing, and I don't know, do guys don't do that?
Well, you know, I just want to set the record straight that it is not common to take a girl's trip and come back and your friends are, one friend did not make it back. Let's be clear, much less a friend passing. The reason why there's such outrage is because it did happen. There's nothing normal about that. But I've been on some girls' trips, okay? And as beautiful and funny as those black women in that film did a few years ago of Girls Trip.
Oh.
You know, it's a good and funny time, but there can be drama, certainly. There's a lot of emotions. There's a lot of feelings involved that, you know, can come to play along the vacation trip, I'd say. But I've been on many, and most of the time it's been drama free because of the fact that I'm with people I trust, with people who know what I'm going through, with people who understand my experiences. And so I think, again, what happened in the Shanquella Robinson story is not only tragic, it's rare, and it really is an example of you don't know who you can trust. Those were not her friends. I also should add, to set the record straight, there weren't just women on that trip.
Yeah, exactly. And Carla, you know, that's the thing. This isn't the first time that we have seen videotape, a video of an altercation between people who are, you know, so-called friends. And that's the thing I find really troubling.
Disturbing, yeah.
Yeah, it's just really, really, it's really, really troubling because I know for me, if my friends were getting into a fight, whether we were, you know, whether we were in Mexico or on the corner in front of my house, we don't do that. It's not happening. You're not going to videotape it. You're not going to allow things to come to blows, Carla.
Right. And you're not going to put yourself or your friends in a position for that to happen. And I recently just came from a girls' trip. I planned a girls' trip for my birthday. 7 women, not all of them knew each other. We went to Napa Valley. But I will say, when I was planning the trip, there were some friends of mine who wanted to invite other friends, and I didn't like those ladies, but it was like I wanted a certain type of energy on my trip. I wanted it drama free, so I, declined to have those other women come. And even though I didn't have anything against them, my intuition was telling me, there was just not the type of energy I wanted to surround myself with. And so, therefore, I didn't invite them, but we ended up having a drama-free, and when I say drama-free, we did not argue not one time, and we were ages from 40 to 75. Mm. So, and again, some of them were just meeting for the first time, but I was very cognizant in the type of woman that I chose to go on the trip because I knew what I wanted. And I think a lot of younger people, because social media is it's a numbers game. Like, how many friends do you have? How many likes do you have? A lot of younger people kind of buy into that. And so they're just looking at the numbers and not really, it's the quantity and not the quality of the person and really getting to know the people. And so I think that plays into their decisions. Like, they just want to have a number of friends, mm-hmm. not really quality friends.
Yeah.
And so, it's very unfortunate what happened to that young lady. But like you said, this isn't the first time something like this has happened with a group of young people, because I don't think they take the time to really get to know the individuals. They just want to have someone that's, whether it's for clout or, just to have a number of people there, but not really the quality and really getting to know the person and being able to trust the person and vice versa.
Okay. I've got a really important question for you, Reese, but first I need to go to the phone lines. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are talking about friends and friendship at the Women's Roundtable. Let's go to Erica. Erica calling from D.C. Erica, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yes, I was calling. I was telling them about, I had a situation. I'm going to try to wrap it up real quick. I had a situation with a friend, coworker, that I had been knowing for a little while, and she told me that she wanted to go see her dad in North Carolina. So I just got a new truck for my birthday. I said, well, let's try it out. Let's go. Okay, the day we left, she added a third party, which was a guy she said was her cousin. Okay, we went, enjoyed her family, went and partied and everything, went to the hotel 2 o'clock that Sunday morning. I woke up, my truck is gone. She stole my truck.
She stole your truck? Are you sure it was her
she
and not her cousin?
The cousin was still there in the hotel with me.
Oh.
So I don't know who this guy is. He's in a hotel. She's gone. She left at 2 that morning. Had to, because I was asleep. I was gone. We drank, partied, and everything.
So was this resolved? Did you get your truck back?
No, I had to call the police to call my truck in stolen. She didn't text me back or call me back till 5 o'clock Sunday evening. She finally brought my truck back. I ended up letting her ride back to D.C. with me. I wasn't going to be messy and leave her there. She ended up riding back to D.C. with me. But now she's trying to figure out why I'm not speaking to her or why I blocked her. She don't understand.
I think the answer is we're not friends. Wow. Well, your truck was okay, right? You're okay?
My truck is okay. I got my truck back. But she said she fell asleep at her friend's house. She took a melatonin and fell asleep.
Okay.
After all the partying we did, and we're CNAs, so we work.
CNAs?
Yeah, we work.
What's a CNA?
Clinical nursing assistant, I believe.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, certified nursing assistant.
Okay. Okay. Certified, yes.
Okay. Well, yeah. That's, I'm sorry that happened, but I'm glad you got your truck back and your own sense of peace. So, Erica, thank you so much. Before I take a break, so, Reese, you're a married person,
yes.
Right? And how long have you been married?
I'm coming up on 5 years.
Oh, my goodness, an eternity. And
happily married.
Right, and I'm so glad to hear that, and this is why. How have your friendships changed since you've been married?
They haven't. Really? They haven't changed at all. No, I mean, with my girls, we've gone through pregnancies together. We've gone through marriages together. We haven't gone through breakups. Luckily, everybody still that's married is still married, happily married. And I think it just goes back to that support system. It goes back to really, like you said, rooting for your friend to win in life. And so there's no competition there. There's no, jealousy there. And I think that might be unique. You know, I watch enough People's Court and Judge Judy and Judge Mathis.
No, it's and all the housewives and everything.
And Basketball Wives. So there's a lot of people who are quote-unquote friends that are really beefing. And so I think that some people are just wicked. And some people are just jealous. And I think when we look at the Chanquella Robinson case, that's wickedness. That's a certain kind of craziness that you have to be in paradise. In a beautiful vacation, supposedly she paid for the Airbnb, and y'all that mad to be violently, brutally attacking somebody. So I don't have nothing like that I can even remotely relate to.
Yeah, you seem to have a very mature group of friends, and I'm personally glad to hear that. When we come back, we're going to talk to Rod, calling from Hyattsville. Rod, hang in there. We are going to talk to you. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM, Channel 141 and 96.3 HD2 and 98.3 FM. I'm Harold Fisher. John Mons is next with the original Quiet Storm. That's on WHUR. This conversation continues on Sirius XM, Channel 141 in just a few seconds. Welcome back to the Daily Drum on Sirius XM, Channel 141. We are having a party in here tonight. Carla, you are missing out. Yeah.
I'm in the studio.
Yeah, we took it all the way back to 1984.
Yeah.
We are talking about friends and friendship at the Women's Roundtable. My guests are Misha Green, managing editor of The Washington Informer newspaper, Reese Colbert, founder of Black Women Views, and publicist Carla Wellborn. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Let me go to Rod. Rod calling from Hyattsville. Thanks for calling, Rod. What's on your mind?
Yeah, thanks for having me on your show. I just found the conversation to be really intriguing. I just want to talk about, friendships and men. You know, I read an article about a year ago, and they talked about the crisis of masculinity. And basically, it talked about how the average American male, particularly African-American males, don't have very many close friends. We have a lot of associates and buddies and things like that. And how it contributes to the sense of isolation and things of that nature, and the really serious lack of community that affects our mental health and even our longevity and how we deal with crises. I know that this is a women's roundtable, but I just wanted to kind of throw that out. What are your thoughts on that particular issue, and how can we as men kind of move beyond the stigmas of, using words like intimacy and trust? Those aren't very masculine words. So can you kind of speak to that?
Can I? Since I'm the man, before we...
thank you.
Yeah, but first of all, do you have close friends?
Yeah, I have three close buddies I've been friends with for 30 years, and we talk. We have done the Jason Wilson thing where we've laughed, we've cried. They know my problems, my issues, my dirt, my secrets. And it has been really life-changing, but I just find that's not very common, particularly
I disagree. And as a man, I think men need to grow up and act and act right.
That's fine.
Because I completely disagree. You know, with the son being the center of friendship. You know, Butch, Ron, Rob, and Robert, and myself.
Right.
That we are in close orbit. We are the Mars, the Venus, the Earth.
Awesome.
Yeah. That's awesome. You know, since junior high school, all the way at, you know, 40 plus years. So I think that men need to stop being afraid of using words like trust and intimacy. You know, let's define it. You know, and if they're having problems, they're saying these words are overly feminized, and they have some other issues that they need to deal with. But as a man, I don't think that I would be where I am now, as sane as I am now, without the support of these good brothers. And, you know, we have to find out who published that article and jack him up in the corner. No, but Carla, real quick, your thoughts on men and friendship, and then we're going to go back to the ladies.
Speaking from a female point of view, I think it's important for men to have those types of relationships. I mean, the men that I do know, most of them have at least, you know, a core group of friends that they can count on, that they've been friends with for, you know, 20, 30 plus years. So I think maybe coming up, some of the younger guys may, in their early 20s may not have that yet, because maybe it's not cool or, you know, to use those words. But I think as men mature, they realize the importance of friendship. And so as a result, they have those friendships that they've built over a lifetime and they've stayed connected to, whether it's, you know, through their fraternity or, you know, just going to school or work. I've tend to see more men, you know, that are friends for longer periods of time than, you know, ever before. So I'm not sure that that's always the case.
Yeah. Anybody else want to jump in real quick?
Yeah. I mean, I think that there are men out there who are isolated, though, who do not have friends. That's the internet trolls. So that's the people that's up there dragging people and being really negative. But
they don't know how to be.
They don't, because they're not cool. They don't have social skills, you know. They don't have a tribe. Maybe they weren't cool in school. Maybe they aren't cool at work. And so nobody really wants to be friends with them. But I think the task for them is to evaluate themselves, go get some counseling, get some therapy, and then maybe you can find some male friends and some female friends while you're at it.
Yeah. You know, I am shocked to hear about that article, Rod, and just that notion in general. I mean, per Harold's first question, the thought is that men keep friends and women don't, you know. It is the unfortunate stereotype, but my understanding, and I've had several careers, but one of them's been in the classroom as a teacher, and even before men mature, they become young men and not as much knuckleheaded boys through their friendships. That's how they get so much of their information, and they make it cool to like girls eventually, and then make it cool to do their homework and apply to college, and then join a fraternity or
for those who didn't go to college, go into the military,
right,
or go into the workplace and the like.
But I celebrate the brotherhoods that I've seen over the years. And so, Rod, kudos to you and your buddies that you mentioned. But let's definitely get that out of the universe. I think all people, whether male or female, if you are alienated, you have the problem.
Yeah. Rod, thank you so much. Tell your friends I said, what's up? 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. So, Misha, if the stereotype of women is that they do not hold on to friends well, and some people could say that your friends are with you for a season, because I do have friends who have fallen off. I mean, and not because of a falling out, but people change.
Yeah.
Lives change, which is why I asked Reese about, you know, the marriage thing. But, you know, I think she has monopolized the mature woman kind of conversation, because I'm sure, you know, once some of your girlfriends get married, they're like, you can't be bringing all of that around my husband.
Absolutely. Unfortunately, they don't want all of this around my husband. No. Actually, I too have amazing friends who you know, I feel comfortable being around them and their entire families, and they feel comfortable having me around as well. But I see it all the time. I hear about it quite regularly. But I think, again, that comes from, you know, insecurity and things that really are not the foundations mm-hmm. of a friendship. And so, you know, again, I beg the question of who are we calling friends? I think that that is something that we always have to sort of examine if we're feeling uneasy about a person in our lives. You know, we have to examine what that person is in our, who and what that person is in our lives.
But can I also ask, how are you showing up as a friend?
Yeah.
Because sometimes people are falling off because you're the one that's deficient and you're the one who don't pick up the phone or who doesn't return a text. And so I think friendship is two-sided, and we've talked about how people treat us, but we also have to recognize that we have a role in maintaining our friendships as well.
Absolutely. You know, I think it's really important, again, looking at social media and things like that, people think that a like was a check-in, right? People think that a view is a way of knowing what's going on in people's lives. And unfortunately, there are many times when they're not the most fun wake-up calls that we get when we realize we're not showing up for the people in our lives. Mm-hmm. And even in these Shanquella Robinson conversations, you have another friend being quoted saying, I'm just really disappointed that she thought that those were her friends. And so I encourage people, you know, you know your friends, and the ones who really root for you all the time and are not the haters, and are not haters about other people as well. Mm. If they're questioning some of the people in your life as well, listen to them. You know, you might say you just being a hater because I missed happy hour with you on Friday. But sometimes they're seeing something and red flags that we are missing because we're so into our work friends.
But Carla, let me ask you about this, because one of the things that, you know, I've had the experience of observing is, and I'm talking grown women, women who are over 40, where Carla, you can be friends with Reese, and you all go way, way back, okay? But then you want to introduce Reese to Misha, and then Reese and Misha become friends, and now you're giving their friendship that you brought on the side eye. There's that jealousy. I have actually seen that happen. What, I don't understand that.
That's actually happened.
Yeah, I know.
Like, I've had a friend, like, where because she moved to a new city, and I introduced her to another friend just so she wouldn't, you know, so she would know someone there. And then they became really, really close. And then I wasn't really, like, part of the group anymore, or even friends with the person I introduced them to. We kind of, like, the friendship kind of, like, evolved, or, you know, we just were no longer talking as much. And at first I was really, you know, kind of hurt and just like, wow, like, I introduced you, now you all are friends, and now I'm not, like, the friend anymore. But then I looked at it like, well, maybe they were supposed to connect. Maybe that person was in my life for a season, and now, you know, it's time to move on. And, you know, so once I kind of accepted it in that manner, there was no longer any more jealousy or, you know, hurt. But initially it was, and I think that does happen. I mean, I think sometimes people, you meet your friends, and then sometimes you tend to connect with that person better than you did with the person that introduced you. So that's happened to me as well. I've met a friend through other people, and then I ended up being closer to the other friend. So I think, you know, people kind of connect when they're supposed to and how they're supposed to. And I was just having this conversation with my daughter. I have a 20-year-old daughter who's in college, and she was talking about how she was reevaluating her friends. And she used to always be the one who reached out to people and talked to people. But somehow or another, she decided, you know, friendship is a two-way street. Like, people have to, you know, it works both ways. And so she decided to stop calling, being the person to call all the time and initiate the text and all of that to see how many people responded. And she realized it was a very small number. And so then she eliminated those people, and now she only communicates with those people that communicate with her. So I was very proud of her for, you know, being able to be mature enough at 20 to kind of have that discernment to say, hey, you know what, all these people are not my friends, because she could easily find herself in that kind of situation where we just found this young lady, like people that you thought were your friends going on a trip, but then they weren't. But I think she now has narrowed it down to like having a really group, small group of friends. And she was, you know, initially trying to be friends with everybody on campus and talk to everybody. But then she realized she was the one making all the effort and the other people weren't. So, yeah.
Let me go back. Let me go back to the phone lines. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Nicole calling from Northern Virginia. Nicole, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hey. Hello. Hey. So I have a best friend. We are in our 50s. Been friends since we were in our late teens, early 20s. Our kids are growing up together. Our grandkids are growing up together. And this year in April, I have my own set of friends. She has her own set of friends. I was invited to one of my friends from high school birthday brunch, and when I posted it on social media, I got yelled at so bad.
Why?
By my best friend.
Why?
Because she was not invited. And she said, you have always done that. You never invite me when you go out with your friends. I feel like, one, if I'm invited, it's kind of uncool to invite someone else to someone else's thing.
Right.
And,
I agree.
You know, that has been my thing. And I have friends that I have had since I was 13, 14 years old. And she's, you know, she has yelled at me 3 times this year. Now it's to the point when I'm out with my friends, I don't kind of want to post it because I feel like I'm going to get yelled at. How do you handle situations like that? Like, this is, we're in our 50s. I'm too old for that.
Well, you know, Nicole, first of all, you are totally doing what you need to do, and don't even let what your friend is going through get to you. It sounds to me like she is dealing with her own issues that she might have with you, but she has not relayed them. And so she's making these outings with other folks just the problem when there's a real challenge that she has probably had pinned up for years. And again, it was probably nothing that you did to her, which is why you all haven't talked about it. But I've been in this situation before, and it's not the yelling about going to other events is never the issue. It's something so much deeper.
Mm.
And so my
what's this really about?
Yeah, what's this really about? You know, so that my
I've always done that.
Yeah. All right. And you're like, when, girl? Like, you know, and then, you know, and of course, you don't really want her to pull out the receipts. Right. But it's absurd that you can't live your life without critique from her. And to me, that sounds like it is so much deeper than these brunch events. I'm telling you.
Yeah. Yeah. That sounds like a conversation that needs to be had without the yelling.
Yeah.
So good. Yeah. Good luck with that, Nicole. Thank you so much. There's another current event issue that, you know, obviously I want to talk about, and that is this kerfuffle over with T.J. Holmes and Amy Robach of ABC News' Good Morning America. T.J. Holmes is separated from his wife. Amy Robach separated from her husband, but they were married and did, by the reporting, did some you know, couples socializing, mm-hmm. you know, drinks or whatever. I don't know. But now, and there's all kinds of reporting as you know, saying whether or not they had an affair while both were married, or that they started afterwards. I think. I don't think that's either here nor there. But Reese.
Yes.
married lady. Yeah,
five years married. I mean, you know, you have all of these, you know, by your account, you know, these wonderful, you know, wonderful friends. But this goes back to the thing before. Do you have, they were both married, so I guess it just really doesn't even matter. But I guess my question is, how well do you know your friends?
Well,
did you see the look on her? You see that? she did the lip look.
Well, she got right on up on that microphone.
Yeah.
Well, the problem is that your friends is your work people. And I say this as a person. I'm going to be honest. I met my husband at work. Okay.
But he wasn't married, was he?
He was not married.
And you weren't married either. Okay.
No. When he started, both of us were in relationships.
Okay.
And we both got out of relationships before we, you know, struck up our own relationship. But I did tell him, I said, wherever you go, you got to have two openings. One for you, one for me. So you do got to watch that work husband, that work wife, you know what I'm saying? I'll be paying attention when he come home talking about Carol or whoever, you know, you got to pay attention, Amy. So, look, you ain't got to worry about your girlfriends. You got to worry about that work wife and work husband. So, keep an eye out on them. But at the end of the day, people going to do what they want to do. You know what I'm saying? And I think that if you have it in you to disregard your marriage and your family, then it's not too much that anybody can do to kind of thwart that. That's just what it is.
Mm-hmm. Carla?
I mean...
That was a gulp.
Yeah.
I think it's a gulp.
I agree. People are going to do what they want to do. I mean, I was just reading the article about them, and they were saying it was like everyone at work knew that they were messing around. Like, it was the worst kept secret at the, you know, at work there. So, it seems like they weren't trying to hide it, and they were, you know, pretty open about it for whatever reason. And so, and I just also read that, you know, I guess, is it ABC? I think is that it,
yes, called? ABC.
ABC,
yeah.
That they're not going to, you know, give them any disciplinary action or anything. And so that makes me think that, you know, their spouses knew about it, that we're just the last ones to know. Because it seems like everyone at work knew about it and was okay with it. They said they were told to just act like nothing is happening. And so apparently, you know, they have been connected to each other for a while. I don't know. I mean, when you meet people at work, you spend a lot of time, you know, at work. You're there, you know, 8 to 10 hours a day and sometimes more than you are at home. So I can see how people can forge relationships there that turn into, you know, other situationships. But when you're married, I mean, I think you have to have respect for your marriage. I mean, I'm not married, but I could not see messing around, you know, knowing that. Obviously, they had no respect for their marriage mm-hmm. at the time.
But there has been, if I may, some reporting that T.J. Holmes' wife said she was blindsided by this, even though they've been separated for 6 months. She did not know. No comment from Amy Robach's estranged husband. But I think, you know, overall, as it relates to, it goes back to the question that I was, you know, asking Reese again. You know, how well do you know your friends? And I think to that point. Because one of the things, and I can't remember who said it. Who said the thing about no judgment? Who said the no judgment? Having friends.
I think that was Carla,
that was
actually.
Yeah. See, Carla, and it depends on how you define judgment. One of the things about my friends, not just the guys, but also, you know, my good sister friends, is that they have permission. We have permission in our friendships to correct each other.
Yeah. Hello.
And And I think that some people can't take that. And sometimes it depends on what the tone and tenor is. But I think that in addition to, you know, trust and, you know, platonic, you know, love that you may have, no matter, you know, what the sex is of your friends. For me, if your friends cannot say, hey, what you did or what you said was funky, and you don't, and you can't sit and listen to that and consider it, then in my opinion, your definition of friend needs to be reevaluated.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, certainly. First of all,
not everybody's like that.
Well, let's take it to probably the heartbreak that Marilee, I believe, is T.J. Holmes' mm-hmm. estranged wife, and Shu, I know, is Amy Robach's husband, and the both of them have to be just so incredibly heartbroken and feel and have so many feelings of betrayal because they hung out together.
Yeah.
They went on double dates. Their Amy's kids used to babysit for T.J. Holmes. I feel like they not only were, you know, work friends that turned into something, but they were work friends who then made their spouses friends, and they had an entire relationship. Holmes and Robach's husband were training for the New York City Marathon together. Mm-hmm. And so the betrayal is real. I want to start there when you think about friendship. But, you know, in terms of holding folks accountable,
mm-hmm.
In the workplace, and you know, we're journalists, we know how newsrooms are, right? Everybody knows each other's business. You know, it's our jobs to tell folks information, okay? Right. And so I think at the end of the day, it's a matter of when you are particularly anchors on Good Morning America, it's holding people accountable in terms of what you are putting out in the world. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, for the sake of, you know, devil's advocate, if you will, I am completely hoping that T.J. Holmes and Amy Robach really were like brother and sister at one point and really could just complete each other's sentences and were best friends. And then it grew into something, right? I don't believe it. But, you know, in the case that did happen and something began to grow and sprout from it, other folks around could have just, hey, Amy girl, like,
but even outside of, you know, because not everybody is a journalist and has those high profile jobs, but I still think that everybody has to have that one person who can say to, you know, to a T.J. Holmes or to an Amy Robach, don't do it.
Yeah, but you know, not everybody can be corrected, because that's you've seen how they went about today, they are shameless.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
And at the end of the day, they're still married. And they still have families, and they don't give two craps mm-hmm. about how this coming out humiliating their spouses looks. So to somebody like that, I don't know what you can say. If they own Good Morning America, which is supposed to be wholesome, mm-hmm. cracking jokes about it being a good week, the shamelessness about it is actually gross to me. Like, people grown, people gonna do what they do, people break up all the time, but you have people that you're still married to that they are showing zero regard to. I don't know what a friend can say to somebody like that.
Yeah, but we are still on the tail end of the November ratings, so who knows? Maybe that has
something to do. Because it is a ratings book.
Yes. Well,
this was good for TV. That was one of the reasons why they were not letting them go. Because people were going to tune in to kind of see how this was going to react. But let me just say one thing about the no judgment. I think you can still criticize and give constructive criticism to your friend without judging them. Like, you don't, just because I tell you, you shouldn't do this. I'm not saying you're a bad person. I'm just saying, you know, this
don't
is
do
what
it.
You should and shouldn't do. So, you know, but all of my friends, we hold each other accountable. But when I say judge, you know, you always think of someone saying, you know, you're a bad person or you're, you know, wrong, but I think you provide that other point of view that they may not think of, and I think friends should hold friends accountable and provide that other point of view. But I can tell you, as a publicist, I've had clients, I have told them, like, I don't think you should date her, I don't think that's not a good look for you, and do you think some of these athletes that I talk
represent, but listen to me.
No, of course not. What they want to do. Of course not.
Exactly what they have, wives and girlfriends. And I'm telling you, I have had one on one end of the stadium and one on the other end of the stadium. And I'm telling them not to do this. And they are booking flights for both on different airlines.
Oh, Lord.
Do what they want to do.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, because like I said, somebody brought all of that around the girlfriend.
Oh,
the
yeah.
Yeah, no. So, you know, this has been really, really interesting, and I do hope that this gives people an opportunity to sit back and appreciate the love that they do have from their friends. And sometimes you may need to reevaluate, you know, those friends who don't always appear to be in your corner when you need them. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a really, really important, really important thing. Look, Reese.
Yes.
Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you.
Good to have you in, Reese Colbert, Misha Green, and Carla Wellborn. Always good to talk to you. Thank you so much for talking to us.
Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. That is the Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141 for this Friday, December 2nd. For News Director Renee Nash, reporters Millette Green, Bramante Bryant, producer Candace Wilson, and engineer Bobby Adams, I'm Harold Fisher. Good night, and have a wonderful weekend.